Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. That was a nice ad there. Thank you. It was soothing.
Wait, that was an accident.
Okay. Good God.
What the hell just happened?
The only college football podcast on these internets is off to a stellar start already. We are going to review the week that was.
Realized something. It's kind of messed up that ad was a song called Summertime Lover, and it came out.
I don't actually
like,
know what's playing. Wait, why is Summertime Love playing?
It came out right at the end of summer.
Your computer.
Wait, it's coming out of my computer. Hit I don't know
mute.
What.
Press
what is
the mute
this?
Button. I have no idea. Just mute it all before we die.
So, Jason.
Oh God.
However you hacked their computer so that they have to listen to Summertime Lover to
no,
do this
was,
podcast.
It was coming from the Slack channel I tried to export last night.
Get up.
Like it was playing
up.
All those media files at once. Which is why Summertime Love was in there like five
and
times.
And nine other things.
Okay.
That's what Slack is for, I think.
Yeah.
When I
yeah.
think work productivity. I think sneaky renditions of Summertime Lover.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast.
Take it from the top.
Hey. What?
We can cut all this out in post, right?
Just edit it out in post.
We can't. We don't know how. They didn't. Actually, Vox didn't give us the edit button. It's like Twitter.
It's very true. I can't believe that happened.
Speaking of things I can't believe happened. Whoa! Hit the segue. This was not a blood week. I think at the very top, there was one shocker this week, but there's a rule about blood week. Jason's sort of our minister of the week, of the Semana del Sangre, if you will. Jason, was this a blood week?
So I think as a couple people tweeted back at the people who were asking if it's a blood week, they said, if you have to ask if it's a blood week, it's probably not a blood week. And I would like to elevate that wisdom from the crowds to the rest of the congregation. This it's funny, like since we discovered this concept and have worked to enshrine it.
Which we're glad you love.
Yeah, it's great. You know, yeah, we all look forward to it happening. We're all very excited. We've noticed for about a year or two now that pretty much every time a top 10 team loses, people start tweeting at the Fullcast account and various other accounts saying, is this it? Is this it? Is this blood week? And as the Fullcast account itself will remind you each Saturday, patience. You'll know when you know. The groundwork when we went back and researched all of it, the standard I had for a historical blood week is 4 top 10 losses, preferably all of them upsets. Like that's when you know you've hit really, really good shit. And we've done that about once a year for the past decade or so. In the explainer that Ryan and I put together, we said, let's say 2 top 10 upsets at very minimum, plus some other stuff.
So and I think we got closer. We did get closer than maybe we realized, because like if USC completes that comeback and beats Notre Dame, if Iowa upsets Penn State at home, if Wazoo beats Arizona State, that's a thing we have to talk about here because life is dumb. If Texas Tech doesn't lose in double overtime like there were at least a few makings of a potential blood week-ish product substitute here. But there was not nearly enough on the page.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of seasonings that could have gone along well if, say, Iowa had beaten Penn State and another top 10. You know, like if we throw in FCS games, then we're pretty close because top 10 Towson and Montana State lost to unranked teams. See, now we're cooking.
Yeah.
But that's not really a
thing
we have
done. This is more of like the veggie chili relationship here. Like, yeah, okay. It's got some stuff. I wouldn't really go crazy and say, blood week chili, here it is.
That sounds delicious, by the way.
The other thing here is like, we have looked at the history here and we can stress patience and it's not just a word. Like this is the historical trend. The shit really starts to pick up right now. And like you'll see as we do these historical, you know, these weekly-ish episodes on the history of it, like you'll see the shit really starts to pick up over the last half of the season. I believe we will get our holiday this year. Just not yet.
I bet there's one person that really wishes it had been Blood Week, because in Blood Week, the attention is spread around between 3, 4, sometimes 5 different car wrecks all happening at once. One person who really wishes that had not been the case, or that had been the case and that they weren't really the only spectacle on display. And that's Kirby Smart. Because this week, you know what Georgia did? Georgia managed to poop its pants in a moderately sized town. Okay? Ryan,
go on.
Ryan, you're getting ready to leave New York, right?
Yeah, very soon. Very soon.
Are you, one, buying all the Rutgers gear you can buy?
No.
Speaking of pooping.
No.
You need to go ahead and get on that. Two, because, you know, it is New York's team, so you got to get all the swag.
I thought that was Northwestern.
As a Medill grad, I will tell you, our loyalty to Chicago is unending, so long as Chicago is at an 18-mile distance, and we never actually have to go there.
Mm.
Big Chicago sports fan, where you live? Evanston. So, the second question I have for you is this. You live in New York. You probably walk by people who poop their pants, like, every other day.
Spencer, I've seen a man shitting in the street. I'm not making that up. I think my first year in New York.
Full Cat wants to register his enthusiasm for shitting in the street.
My first year in New York, I think like my first couple of months, I saw a man in between two parked cars in the middle of the day just taking a shit.
Yeah.
That dude's having a worse day than you are.
Right.
Just a different one.
It might be going pretty good.
Yeah, he could be like, you know what I want to do today? I'm going to poop between two cars.
Bucket list.
I should point out that Spencer has been trying to take his shirt off without muting the microphone or removing his headphones for like the past 5 minutes.
Layers. Today was the first day I could wear layers down here, and it tried to be a mistake because it heated up.
You won't let me take a picture.
Yeah, it's bad. So at any rate, you don't want to poop your pants in New York because nobody's really going to notice.
Right.
However,
it's hard to be the like most disgusting, most shameful person in New York. There's correct. A lot of competition.
But like Kirby made the mistake of pooping his pants in like downtown Milwaukee. Right. He made the mistake of pooping his pants in Chattanooga.
Yeah. We got to go somewhere warm because like it was detectable. Yeah.
Chattanooga's got a river.
That's
there,
right.
There was wafting going on. I mean, you could just say Athens. It's
that's true.
It's not big. Everything is walkable. People are walking right past it. It's warm.
So yeah, that's that is everything that we need you to know. That the actual thing that occurred was Kirby Smart being the only one to poop his pants. Right. If you want to take this to kindergarten, you don't want to be the only kid pooping your pants in kindergarten, right?
Well, it's really more like third grade at this point.
Third grade.
Yeah.
We've moved those goalposts.
Yeah, because nothing took the attention away from Georgia somehow losing 20-17 to South Carolina. Was this in Columbia? That might be understandable. That's an interesting road game that you might not have prepared for. No!
No. This was in the hallowed Sanford Stadium.
By the way, don't tell me that, like, you know, South Carolina celebrated by pulling stuff out of the hedges and they're like, oh, they touched our beloved hedges. Barbara, call the sheriff. They touched our hedges. Those hedges are like every other plant in Georgia, okay? They're indestructible, evil, and they will eventually devour your corpse. Take them. Set fire to them. They won't burn. I promise you.
Go ahead. Coach Muschamp, you must know that's part of the course, and it's a free drop.
The box hedge is the tenderest of creatures. You can't pull it out with a truck. It's fine.
Also, y'all tore that shit down for Olympic soccer. No, stop pretending you're Southern. You tore that shit down for soccer.
You can't complain about somebody taking a little cutting from the bushes, right? Until you quit emptying your RV sewage onto the quad, all right? It's fine. It's fertilizer. I've seen your kid.
That's public grass.
Yeah, that's fine. My taxes pay for this shit outlay. Yeah, no, you don't get to complain about that, all right? Not until you do what I have seen, honestly, every other Georgian in my life do, which is throw trash out of your car window and go, oh, man, I hate it when things are dirty. Car's clean now. No, you don't get to do that, all right?
Well, it's just, you shouldn't, don't put something that can be turned into an easy trophy so handy, you know? Like, if the University of Washington had a bunch of apple trees growing, you know, behind one of the end zones, because they were like, hey, this looks cool, and it's, you know, part of local culture or whatever. Every time Oregon wins on the road that game, Oregon players are going to have apples in their mouths. Like, that shit's just going to happen.
So you know what we should do? We should surround our football field with snapping turtles.
You know what they're going to do? They'll just, like, LSU comes to your place, they're just going to cook them on the spot.
With their hand inside the snapping turtle's mouth.
Yeah. When is he going to let go? Oh, and this hits about 400 degrees.
Either he going to eat me or I'm going to eat him.
I call this a grown-up lollipop.
That's just a big glove.
This ain't my first time. How many times have you done that? How many times I ain't? That's a better question.
Out here gigging snapping turtles.
Yeah, you don't get to do that, because you know what else you don't get to do? You don't get to complain when everybody so far watching your team this season has gone, hey, y'all should try to do something on offense.
Shut up. Second gear's fine.
Jake from 16 miles an hour.
Yeah, we're running in the red because we believe in Georgia.
We're just.
If you run it in fifth gear too much, it burns the manifold thing. Yeah.
It's too fuel efficient. Ugh.
It's gross. I'm going to roll coal here. That's what UGA was doing. Rolling coal, 5 yards per pass attempt. Take that, Libs. Because there's an actual football point contained in this, which is that Georgia's just been nibbling people to death on offense and letting the defense carry the rest and hoping the run game provides your explosive plays and occasionally letting Jake Fromm off the leash. I don't know who's been saying that other than anyone who's been watching the Georgia Bulldogs play football this year. Anyone.
I described it in great detail before it even happened in the middle of a game last week, if you were on our Slack channel.
And you know who loses to teams like that? People who try the haymaker. People who try the big play. People who try to actually do something. Because one general trend in football is this. The team that tries less and has less ambition, over time, you're probably going to have a more steady record. I didn't say better record. I just said more consistent, right? Unfortunately, you know who Georgia ran up against this week? Someone who tries even less. They ran up against the Super Kirby. They ran up Mega Kirby. They ran up against the Micro Muschamp versus the Mega Muschamp, the original Muschamp, Machamp himself, the Pokemon at the end of all of the Dumb Rage Pokemons, Will Muschamp. South Carolina didn't try to do anything. They didn't even control their players. Javon Kinlaw on the defensive line, he put himself back in the game. You know who said that? Muschamp. Because after the game, Muschamp said, yeah, we told Kinlaw to come off for a blow, and he just said, to hell with y'all, and walked down the field. You ever seen him? He's real tall. I just let him go. That man's not even control of his own team. And they won by not doing anything. Just do less if you're playing a team that's conservative. Because it works.
Georgia lost to some anarchists. Like anarchists who don't like smash windows, who just like sit in the way of the door, you know, like the obstructionist type anarchist.
The fucked up thing is that when you think of like big upsets, you can usually go back and say like, oh, when they did this one thing, that's when you knew like they were going for the they were really trying to win this game. You know, there was a flea flicker, or they threw the ball, they threw a deep ball on third and one, or they went for it on fourth and eight and they got it, or they faked a punt. Like, what? There's usually something.
Yeah.
There's nothing here. There is nothing. I mean, look, South Carolina's defense played very well, had a little bit of luck, but not like an outsized amount. Their offensive line kept the quarterbacks mostly clean-ish, except for the one who got knocked out of the game. But there's nothing that you can point to and say, like, yes, that was when Will Muschamp decided, like, we're all right. Who's with me? We're storming. Will Muschamp's like, no, stay in the police station. The zombies are out there. Leave them.
They'll run out of stuff to eat eventually. It's fine. They run out of ammo. Jake Fromm's out in the middle of the street like, pow, 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 pow. Yeah, you just listen. He'll run out of bullets eventually. He threw 51 times.
I think in Georgia's offense against the zombies, Jake Fromm has like a boomerang. Like it's not a shotgun. It's yeah.
He's got an automatic fire staple gun. That's what they've set him up with.
He's got a bow and arrow, but just the one arrow, and he's really good at it. So you're like, wow, man, you got to go get it every time. Oh, that sucks.
How do you throw 51 times and not hit 300 yards? How? You're just the micro nibbler. Just trying desperately to put the ball somewhere between the 4-yard mark and the 7-yard mark. That's design, by the way. It's not like South Carolina was, you know, bringing them close. This is also another problem with Georgia, low-key. They don't have anyone to stretch the field. None of their perimeter players are getting off. It's not just design. It's partially design. But they don't have anybody who's going to stretch the field or make something happen on the perimeter by themselves. The only person they have to do that is DeAndre Swift. That's it. So what better way to try and win a game with a team that wasn't even going to try to do much than to do less? The sloth of the SEC, South Carolina. You know what sloths do when their coats get mold on them? They use them as camouflage. That's South Carolina football right now. Down to their third string QB in OT, which they got to, by the way. Ryan, I'm going to have an aneurysm if I describe it. Please tell them what happened to get them to OT.
So South Carolina has the ball. I have the play-by-play here, so I'm going to make sure that I go to it and not completely cock up what happened here. They start with the ball right after Georgia has tied the game. They've got a minute 48 to go, and they move the ball successfully down to the inside the Georgia 47 with plenty of time to go. They don't have total success, but they're facing a 4th-and-3 with 45 seconds to go. Georgia has just called a timeout at this point. Now they're at the 40, so it's kind of a tweener place. They could punt. They could say, let's just go to overtime, or let's see if you can drive the ball deep down the field with only 45 seconds to go. And I think they only had one timeout left. They had two timeouts left at that point. Or you can go for it. 4th-and-3, not at all an unmakeable distance. And even if you don't pick it up, they're still going to have to go a little bit of a ways. Or you could do what they did and attempt a 57-yard field goal that missed very, very, very far right and gave Georgia the ball back at the 40 with 40 seconds to go. At that point, Georgia got to inside South Carolina territory pretty quickly. And with 13 seconds to go, they've called timeout. It's 2nd-and-5. They throw 2 incomplete passes. Mm-hmm. One of them has an illegal shift that backs them up 43 yards, or 5 yards rather, to the 43. With on the last play of the game from the 43, and it's high game, when you do have maybe the best kicker you've had in school history, you would think maybe that is the time where you would say, okay, let's trot him out here and try, what is that, a 60-yard field goal?
Yeah.
Like, is he going to make it? Probably not. Do you need to be prepared for a kick six? Yes. But other than that, there are pretty much no major downsides. Nope. Just attempted an incomplete pass that didn't go anywhere. And that's how we got to go to overtime, where just so much stupid shit happened. A double overtime that ended with how many total points scored?
Three.
Between both teams? Three.
Three.
Do we think you two broke down a lot of the dumb stuff in the top whatever Sunday morning? But there was also like weird coaching decisions, and I think most of them were by Kirby. Like a weird timeout, that weird kick thing you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Do we think that he looked up, looked across the field, saw a guy wearing glasses? This would be Will Muschamp, and thought, "Oh shoot, they got a smart guy. Oh,
they got a chess grandmaster.
Uh-oh, they got a big brain over there. I better really bring it.
College boy.
I'm gonna have to dig in my analytics.
He went where? Oh, he must be smart.
Yeah, I forget who tweeted it, but toward the end of this game, someone just tweeted, both these men have degrees from the University of Georgia. And it was the funniest thing I saw all Saturday, outside of our Slack, at least.
This entire game was just one long warning about having people from rural Georgia manage a football team. There was really no other conclusion I could arrive to. There was something else we didn't mention, that DeCarrion Joyner, the third string quarterback, who didn't get sacked despite being the third string quarterback on a team that gave up almost three sacks a game against a team that likes to get about three sacks a game. He, on third and six, DeCarrion Joyner runs for 3 yards. It is fourth and three, and the clock is ticking. Georgia calls a timeout to let South Carolina, if they're thinking about going for fourth and three, draw something up that's pretty nice, decide, ponder, review their options, or to give the kicker more time to rehearse. Just let it go. Yeah. What? What the hell were you doing, Kirby? What the hell?
And that was when they gave Will Muschamp preparation time. And as we know, being from the internet, you give Batman preparation time and he can defeat anyone. This also goes for Will Muschamp. He'll apply his big old glasses brain and you're sunk.
It was like when you have a dog that doesn't understand object permanence and you go, I'm going to give it a little bit longer to realize the ball is under the bowl. And it comes back and it's like, you made it disappear. Sorcerer! Roar, 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 roar. Go, dogs. Yeah, this is to me not an aberration. That's usually what you think with an upset. You go, oh man, you know, this is just a lot of weird things happened and a lot of nope. This is very much in keeping with the 2019 team. And I don't even know if it's entirely just Kirby Smart being super conservative. I think part of it is that they can't do a lot with their perimeter players or down the field, or at least don't trust them to, but a lot of it's them being super conservative. Now watch, I said all this, and like Jake Fromm's going to throw 23 times for 400 yards against Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have the talent, so I think it is more the trust and, you know, the trust and all that, because, like, we know they have the talent all over the roster, and...
Where does the trust come in? Because, like...
No, I'm saying the lack of trust in that talent too.
In Jake Fromm, like that's the thing that floors me, is that they're collaring him like he's a freshman.
He's going to be kind of the inverse of, you know, every year we have like that like Mac quarterback who threw for like 5,000 yards, and we're like, oh, I hope this guy goes in the seventh round. With Jake Fromm, it's going to be like, yeah, he threw for like 9 yards in college, but you should probably draft him. I've never seen him play football before, but I bet he's good at it.
He's real tall.
There's also that.
Oh, he's going to be a Jet. It's going to be great.
Oh. Never had a game with more than two interceptions, and he keys in with three here. He threw six.
Remember, when all you're year a last Jet, year. You're a Jet for life, and that's why Sam Darnold keeps trying to get sick.
I thought you were going to launch into a song, and I was so ready.
I know. I'm sorry.
I believe it is time for podcast business.
Podcast business. What's that business? Podcast business. I don't really know how to do it as well.
You had a little a growl in your voice there.
Yeah, it's because it's the Ogeron.
Oh, I thought you were doing DMX. Yeah, about to pull up instant rap air horn.
I'm just the drum machine, the cheap drum machine that keeps going in the background. The washer or the dryer, right?
I wish my dryer had an air horn.
I'm sure DMX has at some point said to, you know, told the listener to suck an animal's dick. I'm sure that's happened.
This is crazy.
It's actually harder to think of songs where he probably hasn't done. Well, that's not true, because there are two DMX songs. I Will Kill You and Everyone You Love, and Please Lord, Why Must I Deal with So Much Pain?
Yeah.
See point one. Refer to point two.
First item in podcast business, we're doing a live show.
I don't even have DMX on this soundboard. What is this shit?
None of it would be clean. It's fine. We're doing a live show in Jacksonville, Florida, home of rap's greatest act, Limp Bizkit. That's right. Greatest rapper is alive.
I'm not talking for the rest of the segment.
I would like to be excluded from this narrative.
I don't want to get emails.
Here's the thing. Maybe Limp Bizkit will be at the show. I can't prove that they won't.
Yeah, it's not like they're busy.
We haven't asked them to, and I would prefer that they didn't, but it could happen.
I bet they'd really get the show rolling.
Okay.
When I say God damn you, I want to make sure I'm being very clear that I'm actually asking for a higher power of some sort to strike you dead.
Well, don't ask for it in Jacksonville. God ain't been there in years.
You go to 25snakes.com. That is where you can find tickets to this show where God will not damn Spencer.
It's safe ground.
No, it's safe ground from the Lord.
Oh, that's a great point.
We're also going to go around Jacksonville telling people that Spencer is Gardner Minshew from the future.
Also, we're going to be traveling in a van and God can't see through lead.
I'm Gardner Minshew, the poet from the future, after he's given up football and his material wealth and returned to the land.
If you hated that, maybe you will hate these ads less, but I can't promise that.
There was another song in our hearts, by the way, on Saturday night / Sunday morning. A song that, if you've watched the Fansville ads.
Which, how can you not?
Yeah, because they're on a lot. Something will catch anyone from that ad, like at any point. For me, it's I Still Hear the Line. That's his Dr. Pepper hand from Dr. Eddie George. Which, of all the celebrity cameos in that, I feel most secure in a real-life appearance.
It was the girlfriend of the guy with the wounded Dr. Pepper.
It was. Yeah. I found her on Instagram, by the way. Her name's Natasha. She's lovely. She's also a lady bodybuilder, which is awesome. And really didn't show under her like waitress apron that she had to wear last season, but she is jacked.
So she knows all about like dominant hand.
Yeah.
Grilling, exercising.
For grip. But everybody in the Banner Society Slack that we keep going on Saturdays, which anyone listening to this can get into that, correct? They just need to to request.
There's three people, yeah.
There's a Google form.
Except for the people who have already made their way out.
Except for the people who have...
No, there's only like three of those, which is kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this and you've been the person who's been told you're too dumb to have a good time...
You're too dumb for rooms literally labeled nonsense and canimals.
The room called nonsense, you got thrown out of that one, so you're going to need your own slack.
But the thing about Saturday night is that this didn't even take place in our most nonsensical room. It took place in our middle-of-the-road room.
Yeah. Now explain to me what happened with Fansville, because Ryan and I were sort of distracted at the time.
I'm going to let Jason kick this off, and then I'm going to pull some highlights.
So the football nonsense room is the one it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a bridge between football and nonsense. And it's the one where I spend most of my time. And I honestly did not see the actual beginning of the Fansville thing. But I sort of, there were a few other joke threads that were going on throughout the day, but eventually everyone just locked in on expanding the lore and canon of Fansville, like explicitly saying, let's do this. And at some point, actually, at some point early on, someone said, we need to make a complicated enough lore for Fansville for there to be a TV Tropes page, which is like the pinnacle of the internet. By the way, there's a Shutdown Fullcast one. Proves we've made it. If you ask me, that means we're pretty big shit. But so for about 2 hours, it was just constant, nonstop word association, expanding the world of Fansville, like, you know, coming up with rival towns and jobs for everyone in the town. And who would this, like, it went on and on and on.
Opposing
it was,
factions like Fantifa.
Yeah. It was about 2 hours of the funniest internet I've ever been a part of. And in fact, I believe we have retained the logs.
Yeah, I did attempt to export a lot of this for posterity last night, also for, you know, lore construction. But it was surprisingly genial for an enormous group of strangers who have decided that this Dr. Pepper ad is using race as a construct for soda pop. So among the things that were decided upon last night, for one thing, everyone agrees that Gus Malzahn is the coach of Fansville High. That's pretty much unanimous. We've decided that Fansville is a red city, but Tech has a blue flag, so it's probably a swing state. We have decided that Fansville is crazily gerrymandered in favor for state. And people act like people act like that doesn't bother them, but secretly there's a lot of buildup against it. Fansville is also suffering with a crippling caffeine addiction problem that is their analog to the opioid epidemic. You get it, or you don't. But also the part that really stuck with me was somebody just saying America's best political explanations are Dr. Pepper commercials, and I can't find any argument against that for the past few years.
No.
Also, we decided Lars von Trier's elephant took place in Fansville.
There was a point when people were just throwing out questions, and it was like whoever answered the first answer was perfect. Good. That's canon now. Next question.
The Fansville mayor is 100% a neoliberal that is destroying the middle class by cozying up to outside capital that gentrifies the city core. Nobody argued against that.
There was someone said, who's our judge? And the instant response was Lou Holtz, but he's totally blind.
Also, yes. Larry Culpepper is Xi Jinping in this universe, which honestly, that took so long. That would involve its own show to explain how we got there. But everyone, again, instantly agreed.
I'm tired of these splitists in Section 408.
There was at one point we were talking about people. Like, how do we date things? What year is this? And someone suggested it's such and such BC. But then someone realized that's before Culpepper. Culpepper invented the college football playoff in 2014. This is already canon. Therefore, the year right now is 5.
Yes.
Right? It's
also,
5
Dr.
after Culpepper.
Among our other lores, Dr. Pepper Dark Berry is a false prophet with an underground cult in the town. And Dr. Pepper Cherry is the evangelical group trying to lead people back to the enlightened path.
I kind of want to. I have never played the most recent Fallout. I think it's Fallout 76, the online only one. I would kind of like somebody to create a Fansville in Fallout that we can all live in.
So here's a critical detail: you need a Fansville, and then you need a second residential area nearby,
right?
Because at one point someone said, "All right, so what's the Hogville of Fansville?" And we realized, no. Hogville is a separate town. Hogville is not an Arkansas Razorbacks message board. I don't know if the Arkansas Razorbacks exist in the universe of Hogville.
Hogville is a heavily fortified nearby town.
Hogville is kind of the Parks and Rec Eagleton to Fansville. We fucking hate that place. Someone says that place has powerful Craig James energy. Like we decided Craig James is from Fansville, but fled to Hogsville, and they're refusing to extradite him back.
I like this because I picture like Hogville sending war rigs to try to intercept Dr. Pepper shipments.
Yeah, but like really, really fucking snobby war rigs.
Walk also, away! Walk away from the Dr. Pepper!
Also, they're war pigs.
Oh, God.
The transfer portal is real. It takes you to Hogville, so it's heavily guarded.
Yeah, there's a Stargate aspect to the transfer portal in Transville.
There's the question of whether it's in America. We don't know that. Can't prove it for sure.
The notion that every time Coke puts out a new flavor, Fansville nervously crosses a flavor off the heavily secured list of 23 flavors in Dr. Pepper.
I missed that. There was one of the questions people threw out was, in Fansville, do we believe in the moon landing? And this kind of stumped everyone, so we did a poll, and this eventually led to...
I'm telling you, you guys who were watching the games missed out.
We eventually realized that if you went to State, you don't believe in the moon landing, but if you went to Tech, you do. Because, like, Tech, right? That's the smart school.
Yeah.
Right. Also, there's a private school that they never talk about.
Oh, Our Lady of St. Francis? Was that it?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. It went on and on and on and on. There was like the town council is like Larry the Cable Guy, Jeff Foxworthy, and Urban Meyer.
And Larry the Cable Guy is constantly disappointed at Urban Meyer, I assume.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Come on, I mean, man, you gotta make better choices.
Oh, I found a list of schools I was looking for. Incarnate Fansville, Our Lady of Fansville, Fansville Methodist has also received the death penalty for money and Coke shenanigans, as in Coca-Cola.
Someone said the official religion of Fansville is game day superstitions.
The like, only concerts that happen in Fansville.
I gotta wear my lucky drawers. Why, to get into heaven? No, so we'll beat Tech.
The only concerts that take place in Fansville are the Summertime Love Guys and Progressive on Ice.
Is there an off-season in Fansville?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No, this is like a Rosencrantz and Guildenstern setup, right? They're not aware of an off-season. Oh, we decided their high school rival was Flavortown?
There is every movie theater just plays game film. Just that's where you go. You just go grind film.
They're replaying the Cheez-It Bowl there. So it's a horror movie.
Dude, it just went on for fucking ever. It was awesome. And in fact, I don't think it's done yet.
This is better than my original theory that it was all a Truman Show setup for Brian Bosworth, the real Brian Bosworth.
I think we ended up deciding it takes place in the Roller Coaster Tycoon universe.
I think Brian Bosworth is like, he's like in charge of like something like the fire department.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, because you don't want to make him a cop. We decided, of course, Pat Fitzgerald is the sheriff.
Now, you know the first thing I'm going to do when we open up the Slack next weekend?
Is create a Fansville fanfic room? Yes, that would make my job a lot easier.
I will. And all right, you're right. I'll do that first. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the crowd, did 9/11 happen in Fansville?
Oh, okay. God damn it.
You know what? You said it this early. We're going to get some, like, documents and slideshows and shit. Actually, they were asking... Can we leave this open as a Fansville role-playing room 7 days a week? So you do it one day and they might figure out how to hack it and just stay there.
I also have some quotes from Ice-T in Fansville SVU. It's big with the kids. They mix fiberglass insulation with pencil shavings and cocaine. Call it a Dr. Pepper 5-pack.
There was talk of Grand Theft Auto Fansville.
Actually, yeah, we should really, that's easy. We should do that.
Yeah, we had. You know, it sounds
fucking tiny. So
I've been wishing openly for several years for the Heisman House to devolve into this like dystopian hellscape from which none of them can escape from either the trappings of fame or the house itself. But this is way better. Also, this is the first positive association that anyone on the internet has ever had with a Dr. Pepper ad.
Also, it was decided that the Dos Equis team is part of the Fansville EU, as is the Heisman House. So, like, the Dos Equis team is some sort of, that's like a non-conference game.
I assume the Heisman House is like the haunted Stephen King murder mansion in the town, where all of those players are actually ghosts. Except Eddie George? Oh, that is a crossover problem.
Oh, he's leading a double life.
Wow.
Yeah, Eddie,
he's posing
Eddie actually,
as a mere doctor.
No, see, Eddie is actually at night. He is he is of the dead, but he can serve the living so long as he works as
he's a
doctor.
Daywalker.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Deddy yeah. George.
Wow.
We also need to work in an iZombie subplot. There are needs. We need serious needs here.
Also, to bring it back to stuff we can all talk about, it was decreed that 80s Hulk Hogan could be in Fansville with zero changes. Find it hard to argue with that.
We'll just do Ready Player One with every crap culture like thing we want to create.
Ready Player Soda Gun. I don't know. I'll workshop it.
Ready Player Six.
Yeah.
Ready Pepper One.
Ready Player 23.
See, it's like Ready Player.
Ready Pepper 10.
No, Ready Pepper One's better. That's it.
Yeah. It'll be like Ready Player One, but good.
Anyway,
get
him. Man, this has got to be up there with us talking about
movie that came out 4 years ago.
This has got to be up there with us talking about bowl websites.
Hey, I just objected.
For 3 weeks, but guys, you got to come join us on Saturdays. It's a fucking blast.
Someone made a Fantifa logo. That's
yeah, we
really
had Fantifa
good.
Emojis really by the end of it, wow. and fanship.
Yeah, it was wall of solidarity emojis, and like Matt Brown, who goes to church, currently has an Antifa Twitter avi with a Dr. Pepper in it.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is that our Banner Society Slack may be the last good place left on the internet, and the first good place on the internet since we created it.
So y'all were having more fun than I was, because I was watching Florida.
Yeah,
LSU.
You were watching your team lose to LSU. You hate to see it. I don't. Wait, but you wait do.
Well, you know, I'm okay with like.
I don't hate to see it at all.
I'm okay with all of it. I thought it was a good game. I thought it kind of went like it made sense. You're not like, oh man, that's exactly what should have happened. No, but like it made sense toward the end. Florida's.
And that's enough Florida football talk. All right, what's next?
That's good.
Do you know, Spencer, we'll ignore these two. It's fine. We usually do. I realized why this LSU loss, this lost LSU rather, did not make me mad. There was
okay,
nothing
why,
to be
why
like,
didn't it make
there
you
was,
mad?
There was no moment where they like pulled the rug out. There was no like, oh, they took my wallet. There was no like, yeah, we converted 8 fourth downs and we faked a kickoff. Didn't even know that was a thing, did you? Yep, we just picked it up off the tee and ran with it. And that's legal. Like, if anything, Florida had a couple of plays like that. The one pass in the one touchdown pass in the first half that got like tipped and bobbled and caught somehow comes to mind. It was just it's very hard to remember the last time Florida specifically lost to LSU. And it was just like, yep, just got outplayed, just lost to a better team.
Yeah, no, there was no point at which it turned into a caper. It was just
right.
at the end, you go, what happened? You're like, no, what happened at the end?
Oh, they just blew open that window. They had an RPG. Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't a heist, right? It wasn't like, we've been watching the wrong video camera footage all the time because they looped it, right? There was no Ocean's 11 to this whatsoever. No. There was just a 14-point swing of, our defense did something better than your offense did. And then our offense did something way better than your defense did. Congratulations, you're now down by 14. And that's the difference between LSU this year and last year. When you go, well, what do you have to worry about? You could get into the weeds with, well, I don't know, they pass the ball now. And no, at root, if you're just going to simplify it, they're playing with sevens and not threes now.
Hey, are we still talking about Florida football?
We are.
Great. Let's move on.
Can we note the difference was Joe Burrow's completing 79.4% of his passes on the year?
Sure it was.
I mean, it's not even just that. They only ran 48 plays.
I'm sorry, folks. I tried to derail them. Keep going.
They only ran 48. No, this is really more about LSU than Florida. They ran.
No, it's cool. I'm going to tune out.
LSU ran 48 plays and scored 42 points.
Yeah.
Holly's
That's
going
nuts.
To Fansville.
That's nuts.
Buddy, I'm in a Fansville of the mind. Fansville is my Margaritaville.
Fansville never leaves me now. I just float around in Fansville.
Look,
we're like the librarians in Derry of Fansville.
They only converted one third down, but they only got to third down 4 times in a whole football game.
It's because Joe Burrow is too good on first and second down.
They're a real good team. They are like that's a boring
real
answer. They're a real fucking good team.
Y'all, I'm taking a lap with the streakers.
there is something I think, like, not emotionally satisfying, but it's at least you feel okay if you leave a game and go, that is a better football team. And at 2 points you go, oh, we flinched. Like we were playing a game of chicken, and at that point Florida turned.
Welcome to year 8 of us vastly overestimating our audience's interest in our feelings about Florida football.
Okay, I want to try something else here. Tennessee won.
I don't want to talk about that either. No, I don't want to talk about that either.
Let's talk about a really good football
team. I would like to talk about football games.
How about let's move elsewhere in the SEC East? Mm-hmm. There is one team of interest in the SEC East.
You mean the team leading the division?
Yeah, the team.
Yeah, let's talk about
the team
them.
Currently projected by multiple analytics to win the SEC East is ineligible to win the SEC East.
How does that work? They can't go to the conference championship, right?
Correct.
Wait, you're telling me Kentucky's still in it?
Possibly, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Mizzou is in the same situation as like that UNC team that one year when Miami was also in that same boat, like the old Ohio State team that allowed Wisconsin to go to the Rose Bowl and finish 8-6.
Yep.
All that shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Georgia's going to like finish second in the SEC East and go to the SEC title game.
I want to pull this. I want to pull off Florida losing to Missouri, beating Georgia, and winning the SEC East despite looking absolutely horrible in their losses.
Horrible.
Yeah, that's what I want coming. There's a, like, if you review the conference standings right now, right? Mizzou would be the SEC East champion, right?
Mizzou lost to Wyoming, where it's frack time.
The current leader in the Pac-12 North won't surprise anybody. That's the Oregon Ducks. In the South, who would like to take a crowbar and try to extricate my brain from looking at the South?
Oh, me.
Which Arizona is it?
So four teams are tied at 2-1 in conference play.
You had me crowbar.
The other two are at 1-2. We'll start at the bottom. UCLA and Colorado. You're a game back. You're still in
it,
buddy.
Just a game back. UCLA, come on, man.
USC, Arizona State, Utah, and Arizona are all tied at 2-1. USC has a head-to-head win over the Utes. Arizona State and Arizona and USC all, I believe, have not played each other. So yeah.
Do you want to know who's playing golf? You want to know who's playing golf here? All right, Arizona State, fittingly, playing golf, because UCLA, you go, oh man, they haven't scored any points at all. Chip Kelly's been struggling. That's just faded. That's just a cyborg that's taken Chip Kelly's name and is running up credit card debt, right? While the real Chip Kelly is somewhere either underground in a lab or on an alien world being imprisoned, having experiments run on him. Like, what happened to this person that they are not the same coach that they were 10 years ago? Well, they've scored 157 points. 157. The team that is currently tied way up there for the lead, the 5-1 Arizona State Sun Devils, you go, 157 points doesn't sound like much. Well, a household succeeds through budgeting, okay? And Arizona State, they only have 152 points on the year, and they're still 5-1. Wins per point, I don't, like, that's a terrible stat.
Wow.
Arizona State's going to win it.
Bill Connolly just threw up somewhere.
Yeah, just like, you know, feels... a disturbance in math somewhere.
My favorite standings thing is that the entire Mac West could go bowling. The entire Mac East could miss bowl season. Like, it's darn near likely, in fact. Like, you might see a 6-6 Mac East like Buffalo or Ohio. And like, then that team loses the conference title game.
Oh my God. That's fantastic. I had no idea. Also, in the Big 12, yeah, there's two teams who haven't lost yet. And one of them is Baylor? You have to say it like that.
So I think one thing we should mention about Baylor is Matt Rhule, what are you wearing?
Okay.
I like Holly's explanation best.
I have an explanation. I just asked why he was dressed like he was about to give me a dental x-ray.
Oh, see, I viewed that as an explanation because this Occam's razor, the simplest answer is he's going to give you a dental x-ray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He loves dental x-rays. That's the
thing
answer.
That kills me about this outfit is that that shirt probably retails for fucking $120.
Is it a shirt or is it like three shirts?
It was like a, we had suggestions ranging from a penny in gym class.
I like to imagine it's a modern version of like what a knight wears under his armor.
Yeah, I was calling him Friar.
He put that shit on so he could be a, yeah, a road coach.
Well, you know, yeah, I was calling him Friar Truck.
What do you call? What do you call those sort of velour
a tabard?
Plush, no, those velour plush onesies that babies wear, right? That go all the way over the feet, but they're sleeveless.
Oh, sleep sacks.
Yeah, I thought he was wearing a
like
a,
he busted out of his sleep sack.
He busted like right. Somebody's like, go.
You know, he does kind of have a baby face.
He does. Go swaddle Matt Rule.
God, we should try that with like James Franklin.
Oh, somebody's gonna at least like eventually they're gonna come out with something that just looks straight up like an infant sleep sack.
Mm.
And the person who's going to look incredible in it, Gary Patterson. It's gonna be so sweaty under all that plush velour material. Like, oh God.
No, Gary Patterson, nope. You have to sleep on your back. It's for safety.
But I'll drown.
Which God. I was trying to move on and I can't.
He sleeps in a basin.
he has to have a drain cut.
Put Gary Patterson in his colander.
Gary Patterson is laying down in his pan like, to go to sleep.
He's Dr. Robotnik, but just in like a metal sieve floating on the sideline.
Hey, gang, got a good marinade going down here.
If I put Gary Patterson in like a terrarium, I'm going to come back in 6 months. It'll be thriving. Like, wow, you replicated a rainforest. What did you use? TCU's coach. It's a self-sustaining ecosystem. Just cork the bottle.
Why do coaches wear such weird shit?
Like this is the last time that
inventing the shacket was weird enough. Then PJ Fleck wearing fucking kimonos and shit.
And you remember that like 2 year period where all the coaching jackets from Nike had like that hexagonal pocket on the outside of the upper arm
like
for
no reason.
Yes. Yes.
That we discovered like, would hold a can of Skull, but not even a normal size cell phone.
The off center pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at this point Nike and Adidas are just taking turns going, you know what? These guys are cheap as hell and they expect to be fired at any time, even though they make like millions a year. Let's just see what they'll say no to. Nothing? Okay, keep going.
I think they might actually be categorically, because they have to come up with new shit every year, right?
Yeah.
There are only so many configurations you can do.
Yeah.
Like next year. Oh, can man. What if they're all like tactical?
Coach's polo? Let's put a spoiler on the pack. That's cool.
I would like to see that. And I would also like to see tactical male corsets become a thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. They're going to, at some point, they're going to be like, yeah, man, it's dry fit tails. You're going to wear them. Long ass coach's polo in the back.
That's when Kirk Ferentz is like, finally, gentlemen return.
PJ Fleck might have been wearing like next season's looks if that's the case.
The get back coach has you by the tails. Get back coach is out in the stand.
See, this
oh,
is...
yeah. What if like they come with a sash and the get back coach can just wind it around his wrists?
I want hypercolor shirts so that they just all immediately get real sweaty and like neon immediately. Like,
Chip like Kelly looting. Dressed up as Tactical Tanuki Mario.
We got away from discussing Florida football.
No.
And I'm going to keep that going.
Good. Dan Mullen's pants.
Who do you want to talk about, Holly?
Just not Florida.
Okay.
Or Tennessee.
Give us anybody. Give us anybody.
Well, I was kind of wondering, we haven't talked to somebody in a while.
He was asking me, but I would like to talk to our old friend, the Sandman.
Yeah. That's one option.
I can
it's like
never...
a seance. We got to summon him.
hey, fellas. Hey, fellas. Ah! And lady fellas.
There he is.
I can never remember the accent. It's going to be different every
time. It's different every time.
That's part of the joy, man.
To throw the feds off.
If we did a supercut, it would sound like that Splice movie, but you're like all of the characters that James McAvoy is playing.
You're like Val Kilmer in The Saint.
Like what's a TV show where the character does an ambitious accent and then just gives up?
I've seen the trailer for Robert Downey Jr. in this new Dr. Dolittle, and yeah.
Oh, oof. Yeah. He's from every country.
By the way, guess which animal is causing all the trouble? The fucking goose.
Honk.
The honk. It's also the Costner and Robin Hood for 2 minutes in that movie. He's like, hello, my lady. And then, and then at 2 minutes and 1 second, he's like, hi, I'm Kevin Costner.
Hey, I'm Kevin Costner. Is there any baseball in this?
Yeah. You guys got any Sky Vodka? It's my favorite brand. It comes in a blue bottle and it's very inexpensive.
All right, I'm going to go allegedly fuck Cal Ripken Jr.'s wife.
Wait, oh my, you guys know a lot more Kevin Costner facts than I have ever absorbed.
Wait, have you never heard this story?
No, I've never heard this story.
That sound, by the way, is Spencer slapping his bare stomach because he finally managed to get shirtless, and he got real mad at me when I took a picture.
Okay, I will do this briefly. This has been kicking around the internet for a while. I don't think it's true, but... In the middle of
why would you make that up?
Just Ryan, just say it happened in Fansville.
In the middle of Cal Ripken Jr. That requires the Baltimore Orioles to exist in Fansville. The middle of Cal Ripken Jr.'s Iron Man streak, they had a game that was canceled because there was some sort of lighting issue at the ballpark. Like,
wait,
the power...
so he was busy with baseball and Kevin Costner offered to fuck his wife? That's sweet.
Hold on. There was a problem where they couldn't get like the outfield lights to work or something, and they postponed the game. The rumor that circulated was that they actually intentionally sabotaged the power system or said it was broken or whatever, because Cal Ripken Jr. couldn't play because he had gone home from practice that day, found Kevin Costner in bed with his wife, and punched him. And injured himself, and therefore was not going to be able to play, and his streak was going to end prematurely. And that's why they set this up. And, like, both of them have been asked about it, and I think they have both denied it, but in ways that you can't tell that if they're angry that they're being asked this question, or if they're like, how did you fucking find out?
There's a sensation here that I haven't really experienced since we were doing It Seems Smart. And since we were first constructing with our friend John Boyce the scene in which Albert Bell's teammate, whose name now escapes me, was crawling through the ceiling to try and find the umpire's locker room to retrieve the corked bat.
Jason Grimsley.
And thank you. And Jason Grimsley removes the ceiling tile, and it's like the groundskeeper's lounge or their locker room. And there's a guy in there, and all of a sudden you're going about your day. You look up and there's a famous baseball player staring at you from a hole in the ceiling. And just that sensation, I'm wondering what the sensation, the moment of awareness is of walking in and Kevin Costner's in your bed.
And he's not taking a nap. Yeah.
I mean, it's weird either way.
Yeah. That would also be weird. That might be even weirder actually.
Oh, Goldie, the original Goldilocks.
So he walked in and there was no way out.
So for whatever it's worth, Snopes.com says this is not true, but I think that's just them making a judgment. We need a Snopes for Snopes is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yep. Snopes scopes.
I'm researching
in
a role.
In Fansville, Snopes is
the Snopes public is Mark library. May.
Whatever Mark May thinks is Snopes.
Oof. Oh, God. All right. So that really fucks up the moon landing problem.
No, we can make it work. It's fine.
No, he's got a University of Pittsburgh education.
And that's also where the space program originated.
Yes. Correct.
I would like to say
put
I like
Pitt
that
in space.
I like that UCF and got real heated up because Purdue dared to kind of sort of not really copy their space helmets. Which
yeah,
like,
Jesus Christ, Orlando, you're not Canaveral.
They literally put a flag on it.
And, like, Purdue has so little this season. Just let them have their space helmets.
Just let them have the moon.
Also, I want to know, how many UCF grads have been to the moon?
They're probably... No.
I think they have a few astronauts.
They have astronauts, but I don't think they have anybody who's walked on the moon, no.
No, there's
I
no
mean,
way.
How many Purdue grads have been to Firestone on Freak Night, huh?
Probably more than you would care to know. Yeah, Kyle brother. Orton. The answer is Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton? You want to know who's been to the moon, who went to UCF? Kyle Orton. Don't ask how.
Man, UCF has all of 3 astronauts. I just checked.
But it kind of made me wish that some other school who has no NASA claim whatsoever, like, I wish FAU was just like, yeah, fuck it, we're doing full spacesuits too. Eat shit.
Listen, dude, Tennessee has a lot of astronauts. It clearly doesn't take much.
Right.
I want to figure out the least outer space school.
UCF has 3 astronauts. Purdue's got 25.
Liberty's like, the Earth is flat, but we've been to the moon. The moon doesn't exist.
Moon is 400 years old. We know it because we've been there.
BYU's like, we all get our own planets. We have the best claim to space school.
That's true.
I'm going to tell you one. All right. I think I'm just going to go ahead and say there's one school where the people there would just be like, no, man. Moon's too freaky. We're not going up there. I'm going to go ahead and say that there are absolutely no University of Kansas astronauts. That's my
guess. Yeah, it's so bumpy.
If I wanted a frigid hellscape, I'd go outside in February.
It's got hills. Ugh.
Yeah, it's not normal. Don't trust it. Moon's haunted.
The Kansas Stayhawks.
Cock's gone.
The Sandman's doing good, by the way. 40-31-1. About 56%. Wow. Yeah, not bad. The pick of the week this past week was LSU minus only 2.5, which I managed to get in March. A savings of 12 points.
Can the Sandman or anyone else help me with this existential question? How did Iowa score 12 points and lose? This feels like such a powerful Iowa score.
It's not like they don't have practice.
Yeah. I mean, when Penn State got to 10 against Iowa, we sort of looked up like, uh-oh, here we go. Now all they need is 11. Yeah. And then they got 11, but they needed more than 11?
I mean, yeah, because I did not watch minute one of this game. Not one. I watched...
Dan, I think whoever scores more points is going to win this game, and the other team will almost certainly lose.
Spencer, I'm going to give you the remainder of Iowa's... I'm going to give you the remainder of Iowa's schedule. You tell me if 12 points will win each of these games. Are you ready?
Yes.
Home versus Purdue.
Yes.
On the road against Northwestern.
Yes, definitely.
God, yes.
On the road against Wisconsin.
No.
At home against Minnesota.
No.
At home against Illinois.
Yes.
On the road against Nebraska.
Yes. And they'll do it on Scott Frost Day.
So Iowa's going to go 8-4 by scoring 12 points the rest of the way.
Also, one more for your bowl, for Iowa's bowl. I have them against y'all at the moment. Is 12 going to do it against Florida?
No, 12 is not enough against this Florida team. Shut up. Stop being such a stupid baby.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
No, we were actually good. Dan Mullen called a great game. See, we're not done talking. No, it wouldn't be enough. We would beat them.
It would have been enough to beat Michigan. It's important to remember. 12 would have been enough to beat Michigan.
I hate to see it. Can I talk about... I think Jason is... You and I are both massive fans of this Hawaii team. Was this their most frantic performance? Their most panicked, active... I would say
they do a lot of stuff.
The team that did the most, right? Like I didn't say what kind of most. I didn't say good. I didn't say bad. The
creating that, content.
The team that posts most frequently.
The spammers of college football.
The most online team is Hawaii. Now they lost 59-37, but it was a really energetic 59-37. They you know, had 24 first downs. They just ran a shitload of plays. And did they turn the ball over? Yeah, frequently. 4 times. Just stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, man. The team that beat Arizona despite turning the ball over, 6 times? Trying to do that against a better team really far away from home. It didn't work this time. But, hey. We're not going to change who we are. We're going to do the exact same thing next week. We're going to turn the ball over as many times as possible and try to score 50 points because that's how we do it on the Rock.
They're the anti-Iowa. We went straight from Iowa to anti-Iowa.
My two favorite teams this year are Hawaii and Wisconsin, who are the exact the exact extremes of the possibilities of football.
Hell yeah, let's talk about Wisconsin.
Wisconsin is fucking awesome.
They are terrific.
The grinder.
I tuned in to this game when it was, I think, 21-0 Wisconsin. I was like, oh, this is just getting good. And this is when they start to, like, this is when they are starting to stop trying to score, if that makes any sense. They just can't help continuing to score against Michigan State because, unfortunately, Wisconsin is too awesome.
Just going to call them the Madison Eau Claire tectonic plate. That's their offense. What are you doing? Just shifting. 3 feet at a time, slowly, grinding away.
It's very confusing that we're halfway through the season, and Northwestern has both scored the most points against Wisconsin and had the closest game against Wisconsin.
There's all that reading. It's just confusing. I'm just like, oh, God, these guys are so smart. Oh, I can't stand it. Nerds.
It might be because Wisconsin is everything that Northwestern has ever wanted to be as far as football goes. Right. Like, this is what they think they're getting at.
I mean, isn't this what Michigan State wants to be?
This is what almost all the Big Ten wants to be, if we're being honest.
I think Michigan State just wants to, like, lay down and be quiet.
For a while.
At this point.
They're just tired. So tired.
Like you said on this week's POPN that Texas is probably the best 4-win team in the nation right now. And I think you're right.
The best 4-2 team, right?
Right.
Like the best team that's like, because they've got two losses, but both of them were against really good teams.
I don't know who who the worst 4-2 team is. Or 4-3 team is, but Michigan State has a case to be made for it.
Let's see what the math says here.
I mean, Indiana's also 4-2, so damn it. There goes that.
Among Power 5 teams, there's Virginia Tech.
Oh, God. Virginia Tech has 4 wins?
Yeah, this has to be some sort of a misprint. I'm
How
skeptical.
Is that? They do!
They beat ODU. They played 2 FCS games and ODU and Miami's silliest game in a series of silly games. Right. Because remember coming into the season, the Virginia Tech thing was, I don't think they'll be very good, but I don't see how they could lose. They could win fewer than 9 games with this schedule.
Yeah, they got, no, I'm telling you, they went down to South Florida, they went down to Miami, pulled out a close win, went to Publix, got those BOGO wins. Like, buy one, get one.
Nebraska's also down there. NC State, Michigan State. The numbers, I guess, are impressed with their defense.
Yeah,
really?
Okay. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it Iowa? I know Iowa's.
No, Iowa's good.
You what? Based on anything you saw out of them, allows you to say that
the half of football that they prefer to play.
Hmm. I just need to get that right? Let's just flip that.
They're good at the half of football that they care about.
The ACC Coastal is just nothing but 4-win teams.
Sorrow.
What the hell?
The ACC Coastal, by the way, sitting atop that. That's right.
Duke?
Duke? Coach Cut himself. Just up there, Darren. Darren Mack Brown to try to get it together. Looking at Bronco Mendenhall like, hey, weirdo, I'm not named after a horse and I'm in first place. That's it. Any insult toward Bronco Mendenhall starts with, well, at least I'm not named after a horse, mister.
Got him.
Dang.
Got his ass.
Yeah, that's the only other game that I watched and thought, oh, man, this was both meaningful and interesting. On the day when I was like, okay, I kind of learned something. And we talked about this a little bit on PAPN, but Oregon can bang. Like, they can bang, and they're not just Justin Herbert throwing the ball 30 yards straight. There's no arc to his ball when he throws it as hard as he can. And when I mentioned this, readers and followers were like, yeah, that's because he hates his receivers. Like, he straight up is trying to kill them because they've been that bad for him.
But when Justin Herbert throws the ball, he throws it like you're like a zip line, right? Like he's just throwing it down a zip line. It's kind of terrifying and kind of amazing all at the same time.
Oregon still has to play, of course, the meat of its schedule. And by that, I mean Arizona and Arizona State. So,
yeah. And then Arizona State again in the Pac-12 title game, of course.
No, it's just them facing Arizona State and Herm. Just, hey, what do you think of Justin Herbert? Oh, he's a quarterback. He's definitely a quarterback. That guy, he's got
quarterback. I can't wait to draft him next year.
Yeah. We're going to do good things with the Tennessee Titans.
I do like that. As we've sort of started the, like, okay, college coaches are getting back into the pro ranks. Nobody ever, there's not even a hint of, like, maybe Herm. Maybe Herm's going, no, it's like, nah, just he's good.
I hope Herm wins the Pac-12 and then says, like, all right, so on to the playoffs. And they're like, no, Herm, it's done. Who we got in the first round?
Who are we playing in the wild card? The Chargers?
When will these jokes get old? Never, because Herm's going to win the Pac-12.
He's not. That part's not true.
Do we really think whatever Jeff Long type person is in charge of the committee this year is going to be able to stop Herm from, you know, challenging? Hey, they could play Missouri. How about that? Call that a wild card game.
What I'm worried is that they'll come out with the schedule and Herm's going to be like, great, we got a first round bye.
Please, I hope that happens. It's all I want to happen.
Now listen, if Arizona State and Mizzou are willing to play a postseason game that they both insist is the national championship, I will go and I will treat it seriously.
I have one other note from this week that I have not managed to fit in anywhere that I think is appropriate. We said we're not going to talk about Rutgers. That's cool. Can we talk about mega Rutgers? So UConn, UConn did something this weekend, which was, it was sad. It was so sad. I wonder if this actual play is incentivized in Randy Edsall's crazily incentivized contract, the one that has little $1,000 bonuses for UConn doing things like got 10 first downs.
Like it's a fucking chore wheel.
Yeah. Ding. Like Randy Edsall is the first person to ever have the Xbox achievements contract where it's like, congratulations, you have unlocked scored 20 against an FCS opponent.
Well, it's also very Xbox achievements in that, like, they don't necessarily have to be good. It could be like got hit by 8 cars. Ding.
It's also that bullshit where it's like completed tutorial.
That's the UMass game, which way too many people want us to go to. We're not going to that.
That was when UConn beat Wagner by 3.
Yeah. So this weekend they played the Tulane Green Wave. This allows us to also mention Tulane, 5-1, 2-0 in conference, looking fearsome. Like, God, like they're one of those teams that can run for 300 yards. Never play a team that can run for 300 yards and also pass for more than 100. It's bad. You don't want any part of it. It hurts. But Tulane, actually good. I think this is the first time since 1999 that they've started off 5-1. Back when the coach at the time was Tommy Bowden and his offensive coordinator was Rich Rodriguez. Yeah, this is as good as they have been in 20 years and maybe longer if you just add up all the stats. Anyway, they hosed UConn. They destroyed UConn because that's UConn football. They're not real good at anything. They also did the saddest thing that I saw this weekend, which was Luke Swanson at Luke from 2011 pointed out. And by the way, he's a staff writer for the UConn blog. So this is coming from somebody who would really like to say good things about UConn every now and then. UConn might have just ran the saddest punt in history, down 28-0 with 25 seconds left in the half, 4th-and-1 in Tulane territory. They punted. 4th-and-1.
You made me do this. We have to talk about a Rutgers thing because you reminded me it's real.
You're welcome.
This is about Rutgers quarterback Johnny Langan. Somebody pointed this out to us on Twitter. I forget who it was, but I am obligated to talk about it now. Or maybe it was in Slack. I don't remember which. Here are his numbers against Indiana in a game that Rutgers lost 35-0. 5 of 13 passing, 13 rushing attempts. For his trouble, he tallied 1 passing yard and 3 rushing yards. That's 26 total times being the responsible party with the ball and 4 yards of offense.
Could you do better?
Maybe not.
If we just gave you pads and we just handed you the ball.
I'm sorry. I am. He also lost a fumble.
Okay. So, because I will tell you this. I will be hospitalized after maybe the 6th carry.
Oh, sweet.
At best.
Oh.
And I will fumble on maybe all 6 of them when hit. Let's be honest.
I'm going to read the first play of the game, word for word. So Rutgers takes the opening kick. They take a touchback. Langan Johnny sacked for a loss of 8 yards to the Rutgers 17. Fumble by Langan Johnny recovered by Indiana for 17 yards to the Rutgers 0 for a touchdown. Clock 14:50.
It's the timestamp that kills there. 10 seconds.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks for coming. At least Nunzio Campanile can go back to his job at running a deli in Fansville.
Rutgers was down in this game 21-0, and it with 8 minutes left in the first quarter.
What do you on the sidelines? What do you do? Just like everybody drink water, everybody halftime will have snacks.
Remain calm. The Big Ten paid money for this. That's the best part.